Welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Daniel Glickman, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at Wave.Video. And surprisingly, we're talking video marketing. There's an astonishing amount of tips and advice over the next half an hour. Just listen to this. Thanks for downloading. Now, are you struggling with your video marketing? Yes, I am. Do you know you should be doing better? Yes, I should. This podcast is made for me, to be honest with you. Over the next half an hour, we're going to make the whole process of video marketing a little bit easier, make it make sense a little bit more. Daniel offers up a huge amount of knowledge and insight on how to generate leads and sales, and also more authority and trust as well using video. You can find Daniel on Twitter, at CMO Confessor. That's at CMO Confessor. Also on LinkedIn as well. Just search for Daniel Glickman. I'll put links in the show notes. Check out Wave.Video for amazing cloud-based video creation software. And also Daniel's blog and podcast are at cmoconfessions.com. Okay, links again in the show notes. Could I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free. Love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media, subscribe via your podcast app. All the links are in the show notes. Yes, they are. Right, so the first thing I asked Daniel was if that big, horrible, long, huge, awful corporate video was finally dead.
Yeah, they have. We could put another nail in that coffin. It's, I mean, video today is really everywhere, right? And so the life cycle of that video, the lifespan is very short. So more and more, we're investing less and less in the videos. And that means that big, fancy videos are really only appropriate for Super Bowls and, you know, in big occasions, or if it's a very important evergreen website, you know. But a video, for every video, we have to ask ourselves exactly what is the purpose of it, what is the minimum amount of effort I put into that, and just put it out there and get it done with. Right, that's how it's working today.
I suppose video has changed an awful lot over the years, and I suppose social media has had a big influence in how it's changed. How have you seen things change, say, over the last decade?
Well, definitely we've seen a move into more democratization of video, where more small businesses, individuals can definitely get video out there, right? They can live stream, they can create videos, they can produce videos. All of us can do it at a fraction of a cost that it was just a couple, 2, 3, 4, 6 years ago. And it's in the palm of our hand, literally, right? So that really created a huge revolution. And with that in mind, you know, small businesses really got involved in video production as well. Anything from customer testimonials, behind the scenes, on the site, in the manufacturing room, just company culture, so many different types of videos you can make. And they really started replacing text or replacing images, which replaced text before, right? The other kind of thing we've seen was a lot more webinars pop up, and now moving away from webinars into live shows. And at this point, we're looking at the informality creeping into videos. So since COVID and everybody's working from home, it has become completely okay to broadcast and have meetings from a bedroom almost, right? Where it's, and that's okay. You know, they're like, oh yeah, I'm working from home today, of course. And that's, and here are my kids. They just popped in and they have a question. And that's completely normal and okay, right? So now at this point where the trend is to become a lot less formal in our videos and not worry about the production, but worry more about the content. And am I actually contributing something important for the here and now and for you?
Yeah, I was going to mention quality. I used to work a long, long time ago. I did a little bit of work with the BBC, and it was mainly in the radio world. And we would bring back clips and we would bring back audio on tape. And if there was a bus going back, going past you in the background, making a noise, they'd scrap that audio. That would just be gone. It wouldn't be good enough. It's not quality enough. The quality wasn't there. But we seem to have got over that now. It doesn't really matter so much about the quality. It's more about the content, isn't it?
Right. And in fact, we want that bus in the background.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's seen as authentic. It's seen as real. And this is a trend even in podcasts where you see less editing, keeping more of the funky kind of moments, right, where the dog is barking, et cetera, and the guy's apologizing, because it gives you a small glimpse into what's actually going on in their world. And that's what's really interesting. And so that's what COVID taught us, is that it reminded us, people buy from people.
Yeah.
Right. So even if you're in the corporate world and selling to large corporations, where it's a lot of it is about process, right? But it's still people. Yeah. And so you want to know that you can trust these people. You want to know who are you dealing with. And in the age of misinformation and, you're not sure what exactly to believe online, you see something that feels more authentic and you feel, I connect with that. I have a bit more trust in that. So we want those buses in the background. We want those glitches and the funky moments. And we want to just show it to be real. And that's oftentimes perceived as higher value than the highly produced shows, which still have some place, but they're really expensive, right? When you think about all the production cost that goes into a fancy show, you know, where you have to bring in maybe actors or guests and maybe even a live audience, it's expensive. We don't have time and money for that, right? So, but on the other hand, if you're at a trade show, well, maybe not these days, but you're at some moment, right, where you just happen to run into a customer, or you happen to be on a job site or something. And that's an opportunity to grab that person and say, hey, I have a couple of questions for you, because it's sort of news, it's relevant, and it can only be done at that moment. Then it's completely okay if the camera is shaky, if the video is not the greatest quality, or if the audio is not perfect, because it can only be done there and at that then and there. Right. And therefore, it's people want to watch it.
So if we're looking to try and create videos that are going to be helping our sales and lead generation, what types of video do you think we should be creating?
OK, so let's start from the top. Hmm. So the first type of video, if you think of a funnel, right, this is what we call a video funnel,
right,
which is really a set of videos that leads people to take action.
Sure.
So we start at the top. And just like any funnel, you start with awareness and interest. So these tend to be short clips. They could be just storytelling, where you take stock videos and put some text on it to tell a quick story. And that could be like anything, like running in, sick of being standing in traffic. There's some interesting solutions to check out. Take a peep at our website, something like that, right? Or join our Facebook group or whatever the next step in the funnel is. So quick clips like that, they could be even as short as 20 seconds or 15 seconds if they're on stories. Those are purely moments, if you will, moments that gain interest or lead them to the next step. After that, you work. Excuse me. There's an authentic moment right there.
Yeah, I'll leave that in. I won't edit that.
So we were talking about the next steps in the funnel. Yeah. Now, nowadays, we're seeing more and more, particularly for small businesses, using Facebook groups as the next step. And what they would do in a Facebook group is they would do educational videos. So in this case, oftentimes they're using live videos, and they would do sessions where they're talking about the problem. Oftentimes that's done in the form of a challenge, or in the form of a masterclass, right? All kinds of different formats. If you're not using Facebook groups, you'd use it as a webinar. So there are different methods to do this, but either way, it's a video that talks about the problem that this prospect is dealing with, not yet the solution. After you're priming them to deal now to get ready for your product, and the next step is really educating them about your service or product, right? That's the final step. And then at the end, if you have salespeople, of course, salespeople could do a ton of work with adding a video into their newsletters, into their one-on-one emails. Of course, sales calls, that's video, right? But and product demos, all of these kind of stuff. And not to forget the videos on the website, which would be around the decision-making process. So these could be testimonials, they could be explainer videos, they could be thank you video for, you know, right after purchase. Many of us have them, but we don't think of them as part of a structured funnel, right? How do I map it all out? So when you do, you see there's a whole set of videos that lead from A to Z, from the beginning all the way to the payment and further on in working with the customers, retaining and upselling them.
I really like the idea of video funnel. That makes an awful lot of sense, doesn't it? And I think you've just described a lot of what you've just said. We would naturally be doing that with text and images on our website anyway. So why not do that with video?
Exactly. And video brings a lot more traffic. We see about 300%, yeah. Not 300 times, 300% higher click-through ratio when you use video rather than an image on social media. Video ads definitely gain a lot more traffic as well. So it's much more effective. You know, images replace text, videos replacing images. That is just the way things work. And it's not too hard to make video rather than an image. It's slightly more work, I would say, once you get the hang of it. And there are tools like our tool, Wave.video, you know, to allow you to do that very easily. And also repurpose videos that you already have and use them to create these short clips and snippets.
Well, yeah, you say short clips and snippets. That brings me onto a question. Should we be creating multiple versions of our videos, different versions of them, maybe chopping longer videos down into shorter segments for the different channels we've got? We've got Instagram, we've got YouTube, we've got our website, we've got everything. So should we be creating different videos for the different channels?
Absolutely, yes. So there are two reasons for this. One is because 90% of the work goes into the creation of the content, right? And now that you already have it, you could put 10% more effort and get a whole chunk of other pieces of content from it, right? Way, way more effective than creating a whole new video from scratch. The other side of this is that the consumer demand is for short videos, right? This is the way our mind works nowadays. It's give me what I want to know right now. Why do I have to sit down and watch a whole long video when all I need is the 1 minute of takeaway that is relevant to me? So if you can find those 1 minute clips inside your long webinar, you can do it. You can take them out and post them, add some captions to them, post them to social media. And that's what people really want and will really respond to. We do this a lot with our live shows. We will find a short, we'll see. In fact, our live shows, we can see stats, the chart of engagement, right, on Facebook, where it shows what is the best moments where people commented most. You just fast forward to those moments and see, oh, there's a clip here where the guest speaker said something so great, just a great takeaway. I'm going to clip that out, put it in Wave.video, add captions, do a little, add a little text above and below and say, visit, come watch the full video or go to our website to learn more or something like that. I do this with my podcast as well. I have the Business to User podcast. And routinely, I will interview people on Zoom, and then I'll take a clip of the, something that they said that kind of struck me as interesting, and I'll put that online and say, "Here, go to my website and sign up to my podcast to listen to the full interview." So those who are interested in the full video interview can get access to it, but most people just want the little short takeaway, that's it, and move on and with their life.
So it could be a good idea to kind of look back over the last few years at webinars and maybe training videos and things that we've produced, and then hack those up into really short little segments and start using this as social media content.
Absolutely. You can even source that out to somebody on Upwork, for example, get an outsourced virtual assistant, give them all access to all this material and say, hey, just shift through it and create pieces for it. Some of these stuff you can also put behind the password protection and make it available only for people who take an action. So for example, you could say, here, I have these cute little snippets that are out there for free. When I'm going live or when it's fresh and new, it's free for a certain amount of time. But I've got this whole library of stuff here that I'll give you access to if you sign up for my newsletter, for example, or if you register or do something, right? Fill out a lead gen form. So, and in that case, you could create, we have a product we call Video Landing Pages. And what you could do is you could have a video on the landing page, just generates it automatically, upload your video, and you get a video landing page. And you could put a password protection on it. And what we've seen people do is take that password and just put it in the thank you email for signing up to the newsletter. So once you've signed up to the newsletter, you automatically get this email saying, hey, now that you've signed up, I want to give you access to my webinar I did for exclusively for our inner circle. Here's the password to access it. You could do it without a password, but it just gives it that air of something exclusive and valuable that must be protected.
Yeah, I like that. It's like exclusive content. It's just for you sort of thing. I quite like that, yeah. Where does YouTube fit in with all of this? Because obviously video on social media is really, really important. But where does YouTube fit in with all of this? Because YouTube, at the end of the day, is a really, really big search engine.
Oh, yeah. Well, YouTube is a discovery platform, right? So YouTube for businesses, you know, the vast majority of YouTube is teenagers, gaming, you know, entertainment, stuff like that, right? When we're looking at businesses, that's a very, very small fraction of YouTube. And the purpose of you as a business being in YouTube would be to monetize the views. So if you can create the kind of content that'll generate lots and lots of views on it, then you can make money from ads that YouTube will put on your video, right? Other than that, it's not a good use case for businesses. Their goal is to have people watch more videos in their platform, not to have people go through your funnel. That is how it's structured. So they will recommend more videos, etc. They don't want people to leave their platform and come to your website so much. Not that it can't be done. Of course it can, but it's not designed for that. We distinguish between discovery platforms such as YouTube and Vimeo and your private place where you have videos that you bring out, that you make accessible to people as part of a funnel. And that's where we came up with the concept of video landing page, where it's just a very straightforward page. It has a title, a subtitle, a video, and a call to action, nice and clear. So the focus is watch the video, take the action, nothing else.
It's really interesting to say that because you do end up going down a rabbit hole on YouTube, don't you? And I hadn't really thought of it like that, because if you think to yourself, well, I'm trying to promote my product or my service or whatever it is on YouTube, there is a really good chance that there's going to be a whole line of stuff on the right-hand column which is desperately trying to get you to click away from what you're watching. So it makes sense to almost like own your own video in a way.
And guess who else is going to be there under suggested videos? Your competitors, right? They're going to be advertising there. So it's really tricky. Now, you can promote your products on YouTube, of course, through influencer marketing and affiliate marketing. So you yourself don't necessarily want to be there. We use YouTube as sort of a catch-all. We just dump our stuff in there after we create it. And, you know, and sometimes it'll get some views and maybe a click or two. But most of the traffic we get from YouTube are from affiliates and friends and influencers we work with that will promote our product for us, right? So they might put an affiliate link in there and incentivize people to click it. So that's definitely a much more effective way than you trying to build your own YouTube empire and send traffic. It's not designed for that. It's designed for you making money from ads.
I suppose the one question that's got to be asked, especially for old folks like me, is what if you don't like appearing on video? I know it's not a problem for anybody under the age of, say, 35 years old. It's just not a problem anymore, is it? But there's a lot of folk like me. I'm not a fan of video. I don't do video. I do podcasts. If you don't like appearing on video, does it matter?
Well, of course. So there are types of videos where you definitely need your face on them. And there are definitely most types of videos where you don't have to be on video at all. So sales videos, you want to have a face, right? One-on-one meetings like that, such as that, you have to hop in a Zoom call with your prospect and just talk to them. Same thing if you're personal brand. If you're a coach selling some kind of coaching or some kind of personal solution where it's you're selling yourself, you have to be there, right?
I know. I don't like that bit. I know.
Right. And frankly, most of us don't like it. Yeah. I do it because it's my job.
Sure.
Not because I like it.
Sure. Right?
A small part of me likes it, but most of the time I'm too self-conscious to actually enjoy it. I look back at the videos I make and I'm cringing. I'm like, no. You know, it's like hearing the sound of your own voice, but amplified. There are plenty of types of videos where you don't have to be involved at all. So a lot of videos that customers make with our products is the kind of storytelling videos where you take stock footage that we provide for free, and then they add text on top of them, right? So an example is a customer of ours who now marketing group, they have a customer called Mr. Manhole. And I really like the story because Mr. Manhole is a manhole cover company. You can't get more boring than that. Right?
Yeah.
Who even cares, right?
Yeah.
And they just took some footage of their machine working in the street and actually digging a manhole and put some, and then they spliced it up a bit, put some text on top of it saying, this is a new machine from Mr. Manhole. It's the version, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it explains some benefits of what it does and how it, you know, speeds up the time of cutting a manhole cover. I don't know too much about that industry. And that video actually went viral and it had over 2 million views on it.
Right.
And then they built a few other videos to bring further down the funnel. And it's a perfect example. It's a piece of machinery, right, with some text. There's no human being in there. So when we say videos, you know, automatically people think of a talking head video, but that's just a sub-segment of the types of videos you can make.
I suppose Manhole Cover Company was one of those typically boring companies. It's not really that interesting. But when you say it like, here's a machine that makes manhole covers things and does stuff, that's actually quite interesting because I've never actually seen that done before.
Right. And it's and that's, you know, and people like to understand how things work. They like to see the behind the scenes. So, for example, I've seen people shoot videos. You know, a lot of people do live videos, right? And their faces on camera. But oftentimes they'll do like shoots of behind the scenes where they'll take a photo or a video of their setup, their little home studio setup. And that's oftentimes more interesting to me than watching them speak. I'm like, oh, look at the equipment and look at all that stuff they're doing behind the scenes just to get in front of me. And you kind of appreciate their work and so on. And that doesn't include themselves in it at all, right? It's just a photo of an empty studio, if you will. So, and maybe some explanation. So I was thinking of doing something like that next week. So that was on top of my mind. But there are so many different things you can do. What is, if you're a real estate agent, right? What are the kind of things you do to prepare the house for sale? You know, you don't want people to think of you only when they need to sell the house. You want them to think of you all the time because then you'll be the go-to person, right? So things like, okay, some stats about the marketplace. There's some news going on. Sales are up right now. Why? Right? And you can use some generic stock of the homes in the area you service, so it feels local. And so you don't get homes, you know, from West Coast while you're in Surrey. You want to make it local, and you put some text on it explaining the data. And the data could, you know, this text could be literally copied from some report somewhere that just came out, right? So that makes the kind of news, and it makes you an expert. You can also show, here I was doing some research, and you could show maybe a screenshot or a bit of something that you were searching online for some of the houses that were sold recently and show that. There's so many things. Of course, you can show how you walk through the house and maybe furnish it a bit or do some, you know, like look around and see what can I do to get this house looking better. right? So there's, and then paperwork. There's probably a ton of paperwork which sellers don't really appreciate. So you could even show that and make people and make that interesting and show yourself buried in paperwork and make that even humorous. So there's so many different things you can do to promote the way you work, what it is you're good at, without even showing your face or showing just a little bit of it.
Sure, and I suppose it helps build trust at the end of the day, doesn't it? And yeah. So tell me about wave.video. It's I love the fact that it's wave.video. I like the dot video thing. That's extremely cool. How can it make us, or how can it help us make better videos?
Well, wave.video has a few components to it. The core is a video editing service in the cloud, right, in your browser. So you can upload any video you might already have, or you can use our stock footage. You can add text to it, and you can format it to any size. So you can make it for stories, for in feed, for Instagram, for Facebook, for nowadays Pinterest is kind of gaining momentum. And you can make all of these kind of in one shot. So it takes just a few minutes to make such a video. And essentially what you used to make in an image and text before, you can make now in a video very, very quickly. It also has a calendar that can give you ideas for, you know, all the different hashtags that trend. So there's Friendly Friday and, you know, Running Saturday, all kinds of interesting stuff. And, of course, the big holidays and everything else. So you can look in there and see, oh, today is Baker's Wednesday, and they have some ideas about, you know, how I can connect my business to that hashtag. So you know exactly which hashtags are there and even templates for videos to do it. So that helps with ideas for inspiration to what videos to create. We have a ton of templates as well. So all of these are designed to help you get moving in that direction.
I really like the idea of you mentioned the different formats and that. I like that idea because one of the things a lot of people say to me is that I've got to create a video. It's got to be this size for Instagram. It's got to be this size for a story. It's got to be this size for Facebook. YouTube wanted another size. Twitter only allowed this. And it just becomes a mess, doesn't it?
Right. It's a lot of work. So when you go to any videographer, give them your video and say, hey, can you take my video and take a short clip out of it and make it for Instagram and Facebook? They now have to start redoing the entire work every single time if they're using like an Adobe product or one of these professional tools. With Wave Video, we really thought of shortening all of this production time. So text animations happens, you know, just a click of a button and just animates the text. Changing the size of the video is just a click of the button. You know, all of these things that really make it, it's designed for marketers, right?
Sure.
We want solutions. We don't want technology.
Sure.
Just give us the solution. The solution is here, click a button and it's done for you, right?
Yeah, because so I suppose if you're just a marketer or a small business owner or something, you know, the video software, it's not easy, is it?
No, and you know what? It's not super hard. And these days, there's access information to learn everything. But we don't want to spend the time studying all of that because that's not our core function.
Sure.
Our core function is getting the message out, getting the traffic, right? Not spending a lot of time fussing about the video editing. Yeah. That's the videographer's core function. And we're not videographers, right?
Yeah.
We're marketers.
Yeah.
We're small business owners, which half our job is marketing or sales and or sales. So it's that's the difference. So if you really want to fuss around about the video and make it absolutely perfect, you need a professional video making solutions, right? These very complex, heavy products that can exist only on your desktop. But for most of us, we don't care. We don't want. Look, if you're going to post something in social media and it's going to last for 24 hours, how much effort do you want to put into creating it?
Yeah, absolutely. So is there a version of Wave for agencies, for marketing agencies who have, say, you know, multiple clients and things?
Yes, and this is something we're really proud of. So we have a few features that are unique only to us in the entire visual graphics or visual marketing sphere. For example, we have the ability to create several different brands and save them. So for each of your clients, you pick your client from the drop-down list, and now you got all your colors and fonts and everything saved right in there, and it's ready to go. So you can even take the same video and just adjust it for different clients, just like that, if you so chose to do. That's one of them. Another is we have, of course, the free stock footage and built-in marketplace of about 400 million clips and images. And if you need customer approval to buy the stock before you actually want to make that purchase of $10, $15, then we have a white label service. You show it to them in this anonymous link, and they say, "Oh, I like this. Great, go ahead." And you say, "Yep, that'll be an extra $45 for the clips in there." And there's, "Yeah, sure." Yeah, and you go ahead and do it, right? So you didn't expense that before they approved, and then you have to pay for it again. So all these little things around agencies make a big difference. You can also organize all your files in folders. So most agencies would have a folder for each client, and inside would have subfolders for drafts, scheduled, things of that sort, right? Or maybe by project, they would say this is our Thanksgiving campaign, and they'll have a bunch of videos in there, and so on and so forth.
That sounds really interesting, Andrew. We're going to have a look at that a little bit later. So where can we find Wave, and where can we find you? Where's all your web bits and social media bits?
Okay, so wave.video, that's the URL. Just go to wave.video, easy enough. You can find all the information there, and at the bottom of the homepage, you'll find all our social media platforms as well, if you want to join. We have a great Facebook community, which is quite bustling with activity, and you can meet other customers and see what they are doing. We have a bunch of different educational activities in there as well, so that's really nice. And about myself, you can find me at cmoconfessions.com. You can find all about me, and my podcast is there, my blog, my newsletter. Everything you want to know about me is on my website.
That's brilliant, Daniel. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thanks again to Daniel for his time. All the links and the social media bits are in the show notes, so take a look at those. If you've enjoyed this episode of Not Another Marketing Podcast, then you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favourite podcast player. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Simple as that. Or you can check out the links in the show notes. Thanks for listening.